So let's begin. So the all right, so we are in part two of Sefer Torah Shenimtza Bo Toh. So when you have a Sefer Torah and you find a mistake in it, actually hold on a second here. Yes. In case you're curious, there actually is an entire Sefer with that name. There it is. Sefer Torah Shenimtza Bo. There you go. Sefer Torah Shenimtza Bo Toh. It is has rudimentary halachos with regards to every letter. It sort of goes through every letter. And in the back, there is a graph, or in the middle, actually, there is a graph about what to do in all the different occurrences. So I remember a friend of mine actually had a tryout in a shul, and on that Shabbos, they found the mistake in the Sefer Torah. And they say, by the way, these are halachos that every rabbi needs to know, because when it happens, you can't just look it up. You actually have to know what to do right away. So he said, Taka, it's a mistake. And I don't know what he did. So then he like joked later, he said, you know, did you make sure for every rabbi that came to try out that there was a mistake in the Sefer Torah to see if he actually knew what the halacha was? So which I responded, well, did you get it right? You know? and Judah is not sure, because I think most of us just think about, well, what do we do? So you stay quiet, and then you bring out the next Sefer Torah, and you just continue from where you left off. So that's not actually the halacha, and I think that sort of that's the reaction, that's sort of the go-to. I think most people just kind of like panic and be like, okay, everyone just be quiet, and then we continue on from that point. So let's review a little bit about what we did last week. There is a major dispute about this. The Piskei Tshuvos breaks it down into four different opinions as to what the halacha, as to how to paskin. There is the Ramah that we paskin like, and which therefore does not make it that every time that there is a mistake, you will automatically just be quiet and bring out another Sefer Torah, as we'll see. So just the lumdus behind it, so to speak, the underlying theory of these halachos, meaning if you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, so then, and especially if it's one that has always been there, meaning a word is spelled wrong, so it can't be that it was a problem that came over time. The word had always been spelled wrong, so that means that any time that I leaned out of that Sefer Torah, I should have to go back and say, well, I wasn't Yotzei, because we should have to go back and certainly to the beginning of that week's leaning, because you've been using that Torah, and maybe you should go back even further to figure out every time, ask Sheldon for his charts about Yontif Torah rotations, and see when those Sefer Torah were used, and maybe we should go back and relane it. So why would we not do that? So the answer is that there is a Shitas HaRambam, the Rambam in the Tshuva, where the Rambam says, implies that you probably, well, he says it in the Tshuva, that you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah in order to be Yotzei Leining. Yes, it's true. The Gemara only says you need a kosher mezuzah and tefillin, leaves out Sefer Torah. The assumption is that it would apply to a Sefer Torah as well. But Rambam says, no, the only halacha that you require a kosher Sefer Torah for is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. But for the mitzvah of reading from a Sefer Torah, that's something that came along later. And the Rambam suggests that that's not required, then, that you don't a full kosher Sefer Torah, you could be Yotzei Bidyeved without a kosher Sefer Torah. So, however, the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka doesn't mention any such halacha. The Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka and his lists of what is required for a kosher Sefer Torah lists off that every word is there, and all the words are appropriately spaced from one another, and that there are no mistakes in it. So how do we reconcile the two? So some Rishonim say the Rambam changed his mind. The Rambam wrote something in a Shuva early on in his career, and then later on he changed his mind and said, no, you need a full Sefer Torah in order to be Yotzei the Leining. However, the Mari, Rav Yaakov Bei Rav, Pas said that he thought that the Rambam did not change his mind, rather the Rambam was talking about two different halachos. Now, when it came to the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, you need a full 100% Sefer Torah, but in order to read from a Sefer Torah, so then Rambam held the Pidyeved, you are not Yotzei. So, by the way, I did the Rav Yaakov Bei Rav, he was the person who reinstituted Smicha. I checked. So he's the one who reinstituted Smicha and Tzvat, allegedly gave this Smicha to to Rav Yosef Karo, as well as others, as different recordings as to how many he gave to, and it could be that some of those Talmidim gave to other Talmidim, but many point out that the Rav Yosef Karo does not discuss this at any point. Even though Rav Yosef Karo allegedly is the one who got that smicha, Yosef Karo never seems to mention the fact that he got that smicha in his own writings. He's much more excited about having a discussion with the Magid, as we discussed, I think, Shavuot's time, than he is about the fact that he got smicha from with the approval of all the Rabbanim in the land, whatever that meant at that time. So anyway, so he's the one who builds a compromise, and then you're a little stuck as to what that compromise, then there's a couple different versions as to what that compromise actually means. So the way that the general way we understand it, or the starting point to understanding that is that l'chachila you require a kasher sefer Torah, and l'chachila we would not read a sefer Torah knowing that it's pasul, meaning we would make sure to have a kosher sefer Torah, but b'di'eved we could rely on a pasul sefer Torah. So after the fact, you could rely on it. So that takes a couple of different forms. So form number one is that b'di'eved, you could say that we were already yotzei the laning that we did in the past, but going forward, we're going to l'chadchila, we're going to require a kasher sefer Torah. So that, based on that, that's why we don't say that you have to go back to the beginning of the parsha and lane the entire thing again, because b'di'eved we have the Rambam to rely on that you don't need a kosher sefer Torah anyways. Now then, there's further b'di'eved, and that is, I don't know, b'shas adchak. If you're in a situation where there's no other sefer Torah around, and that's what you could use, I can imagine this coming up more pressing nowadays as people have backyard minyanim and things like that, so they only have one sefer Torah present. So all of a sudden there's going to be a mistake. So what do you do at that point if there's a mistake found in the sefer Torah under those circumstances? So that would be this discussion about what to do b'di'eved if there is a mistake found in the sefer Torah. So the way that the Mechaber sets it up is actually fine. So let's while we're on, I think, page one, let me just pull it up myself. Page one, yeah. So page one is towards the end of that section, but I just wanted to point out the Darkei Moshe that appears on the bottom of the page. So we read this last week, but just to take a step and reread it, so the Darkei Moshe in Gimel, in Reish Ayin Tes, says, Uva Mordechai per Gimel de Megillah, Pasak dim nimtza toz b'shas kriya, im lo kara gimel psukim yikra hatoz balpe. That the Mordechai says that if you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, if you haven't yet read three psukim, you should read the mistake by heart. Oh, shehu revi barosh chodesh o b'chol amoid, the tzarech l'sayim haparsha, that you, if you're in the middle of, you've already read or you're in Revi of Rosh Chodesh, or Revi of Chol HaMoed, meaning there's not going to be any more Aliyos, meaning you're limited to those four Aliyos. The Tzarech L'Sayim HaParsha, the Ein Mosifin Aleihem, O Shachisaron Samuch L'Parsha Beis Psukim, the Eiv Shar LaHafsik, Aval Imhu B'inyin, Eiv Shar LaHafsik. That if you're in the situation where you can't stop, I mean, what happens if you're going to stop? So by stopping, you're then going to require a fifth aliyah. So if you require a fifth aliyah, so says the Mordechai, so then if you're going to be over the count, says the Mordechai, so then keep reading. Just keep reading through. Don't stop for that mistake. You know what it's supposed to say. Just read on through. Aval imhu be'inyan she'yichol mahasik, but you could stop poskin, v'lochin acheres v'gomrim hakriya ad kan l'shono Rivet. But if it's a place that you could stop, so then stop, take another Sefer Torah, and finish the reading with that. Mordechai does not mention whether you make another bracha or whether you don't make another bracha. But that the shita of the Mordechai seems to be that you would keep on reading without stopping. The second half of the Darkei Moshe is what deals with big problems versus little problems, and that we'll get to a little bit later. Okay, that's the Darkei Moshe, that's the Shita of Mordechai. So how do we?
That's incredible that you read knowing that it's incorrect. That you continue reading knowing that it's incorrect and mistake in your reading.
Yes. So the truth is that's not only that, but that seems to be how we actually paskin. Sort of. We Paskins partly like that, like an aspect of that Mordechai. I mean, one potentially would read a part that we are mistaken on, as we'll see. However, it's not in your day, but it's in Or HaChaim. But what does the Mechaber say?
It should be like a believe it or not kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, we paskin that we finish the pasuk. That's what that you find a mistake, you could finish the pasuk that you were in. It sounds like from the pasul sefer Torah and pick up with the next sefer Torah. So there would be a couple of letters that you do. That seems to be the psak of the Ramah. It seems like that's the way that we should follow. So the Shulchan Aruch says, and this is again only a mechaber. So for Sfardim, so karu b'sefer Torah b'tzibur v'nimsa b'otos. You find a mistake, motzin sefer Torah cheres. Take another sefer Torah out. Umaskil mimakum shenimsa b'otos. You begin from the place where you found the mistake. Umashlimin shiva al osam shakaru b'muta. And we conclude the seven from those that you read by mistake. I mean, you continue, you stop and you take out a new one and continue reading and knock off those seven. If you find it in the middle of the of laning, so gomer kriyasu b'sefer akasha, you should finish reading with sefer akasha and make a bracha afterwards. Be'inu mevarech lefaneha, ki bracha sheberech lefaneha b'sefer Torah pasul, v'chein kriya shekaru bo alsalehem b'di'evet. He says, and so you would then, it sounds like the same person would make a bracha at the end, on the Aliyah that he just finished, even though it was on two Sefer Torah. He wouldn't have to make another bracha to begin leaning from the Kasher Sefer Torah, because the bracha that he did in the beginning works, and as the Mechaber concludes, because and that Kriya works b'di'evid anyways. So therefore we're not going to make him restart and make another bracha. Now the Ramah comments here, can't really read it there, but the Ramah comments, Ve'in chilik b'zeh b'in shenimsa toz b'sefer Torah rishona, b'in shenimsa toz b'shniya, shekorim b'chovas hayom l'mafti. It shouldn't make a difference whether it's in the first sefer Torah or the second sefer Torah, meaning whether it's part of the chovas hayom, whether it's part of the official laning or part of the maftir, doesn't matter, it's going to be the same halacha, v'ayin b'orachayim simin kuf mem gimel, and see over there. So the Ramah does not make his comment here, but the Ramah in Orachayim clearly disagrees with the Mechaber, who says the same shita over there. So that gets us to page 4 in the source sheet. So page 4 in the source sheet says, so the Mechaber is really the same. I think even word for word the same. You don't have to go back and make a bracha before. He doesn't add in there, here, but he did say in Yeridaya, because the kriya that you did, even in the Pasul Sefer Torah, works b'di'evit. Now here comes the Ramah. Now the Ramah is, I am warning you now, is a hybrid shita. The Ramah is not, I don't think, is following any particular Rishon. He is rather a hybrid of this of the Mordechai and the Mechaber. So what does he say? He says, "Vim kvar karu imo gimel psukim." The Efshar and the page that we're reading from, this is from the Mishnah Berurah Shulchan Aruch, not the regular Shulchan Aruch. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah is much clearer in terms of his understanding. So we're on page. So there aren't too many words per line, but on page 5, so the Ramah says, "Vim kvar karu imo gimel psukim." The Efshar lahafsik poskim sham. He says, if you've already read three psukim and you're a place that you could stop, stop there, umevarich achareha, and make a bracha afterwards, right? Umashlimin haminyan b'sefer Torah hacher shemotzin. And then you will conclude the counting of the aliyos with the other sefer Torah that you're bringing out, right? So what is he saying? So you have you're up to shlishi. Everything is moving along, and you're up to Shlishi, and now you find a mistake in the middle of Shlishi. So says the Ramah, well, if you're in the middle of the Aliyah, so then you stop, roll up the Sefer Torah. The person who had the Aliyah, the guy, the Shlishi guy, right, he ends his Aliyah. He ends his Aliyah by saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim, right, Asher Nesalat Torah Semes V'Chayla Matavis Ocheinu, and his Aliyah is over. And then you call up another person in order to begin the next Aliyah. That is his. That is the psak of the Ramah. I'm not sure. I didn't think this. I'm not sure whether that means that you would have eight Aliyahs that Shabbos or not. see if the Piskei Tshuvos makes a comment about it. But I think that means that you would then have eight aliyahs on that Shabbos.
What happens if there's only one Torah? What do you do?
So if there's only one Torah, from that point forward, you would probably... Well, it depends what the mistake is, as we'll see. But assuming it's a full-fledged mistake that would require replacing Sefer Torah, and there really is only one Sefer Torah present, I think you would continue reading it without a bracha. I think that would be the psak. Actually, I would even say a little more fancy would be I think the person who has that aliyah steps aside. You let other people come up with aliyos and not make a bracha. And then the guy who had the aliyah that had the mistake in at the end of laning then makes his after bracha at that point. You won't let a new person come up and get the aliyah and make a bracha on a pasul Sefer Torah, but because you already made the pre bracha on that Sefer Torah, he would also make the post-bracha on that Sefer Torah, even though it's pasul. I believe that that is the psak in the one Sefer Torah situation. So then the Ramah continues on and says, V'hadim utzin acheres, dafka shenimtza toz gamur. Oh, he says, and by the way, and that mistake is only if you find a full-fledged mistake. Av'am mishum chaseris v'yaseris ein lahotzi acheres, ein sifrei Torah shalanu midyakim kol kach. But if it's only a chaseris v'yaseris issue, something that doesn't, I guess, change the meaning of the words, and the is an extra vav there, an extra hey there, something like that. So that we're not going to switch it for. However, my real pasuk the ein lahavi sefer Torah acheres, and real says that you wouldn't bring another sefer Torah, but yosi pasuk the tzarich lahotzi sefer Torah acheres that you would. Lachain tzarich lechalik v'shasav chak she'ein l'sibur rak sefer Torah pasul v'ein sham yishu yachol l'takna yishram d'yesh likros bo b'tzibur l'varich alav. But if you only have one sefer Torah and it's a chaserus yiserus mistake, you can make a bracha on it v'yesh poslim. V'im chumash echad shalim below toos yesh lahakil likros ba'osu chumash afal pishi yesh toos acherim. And if there's one chumash that does not have a mistake in it, there are those that are makel, but that's not talking about our chumash, and that's talking about like scroll chumash. So that wouldn't really apply.
You're talking about a Torah in which
right.
One whole
chumash
is intact.
Right. Right.
This is before print, so it has to be handwritten.
Yes. Right, right. But I would assume without all the various halachos of this. So but not necessarily with all the halachos of the Sefer Torah. Even though it might have been handwritten, it doesn't have all the halachos. So actually, quick parentheses. Do you know the story? I don't want to like. Purim is over, so you don't have to worry about it for at least another 11 months. But you know the story of the three small letters in the 10 sons of Haman. Right, the three small letters spell out a year, and the story goes that after the Nuremberg trials, there were, I think, 12 Nazis that were sentenced to hanging, and everybody's nodding like you've heard the story already, right? So we've heard that Maisa. So there was in last year's Chakira around Purim time, so there was a person who pretty much showed that it's impossible that this this is true. He found old manuscripts of Megillas that these letters were not smaller. It's unclear when they became smaller. But the person wrote an article saying that it can't be that was like Ruach HaKodesh from Esther Hamalka. Right? It's not like that was the case for Megillas from time immemorial. So during so one of the proofs that he brought was one of the oldest Megillas around, I think like from Istanbul or something, some older Megillah that he used as a that he used to show that you see, here's an old Megillah and it's a pretty authoritative text and those small letters are not small there, right? That was one of his proofs. So I noticed, however. Baruch Hashem, we've been learning these halachos here, and we learned that the word aseres, aseres is at the end, chamesh miyot ish, right, that the word ish has to be in the first of that column, ish v'esh v'eith, right, and then you begin with the rest of them. And in this Megillah, the word ish was not in the beginning of a line. The word ish was before. I forgot how he had it set up. It was a little bit is a little bit different. So, and that's actually a halacha that's found in from much earlier sources. I forgot if it's in the Yerushalmi. I think it's in the Yerushalmi. If not in the Yerushalmi, it's the Brice and the Divrei Sofrim. So I actually tracked down the author and sent him an email about this. I said, you said this is an authoritative text, right? But how do you account for the fact that it doesn't include the word, it's not set up in the way that the things that the, that I forget, the Divrei Sofrim or the or the Yerushalmi say that it should be set up. So the author wrote me back. He's a professor in Hebrew U. He wrote back to me. It's been a couple of years since I really looked into it because that article that was in Chakir was actually originally in French and was translated later on. So I'm not really holding in this right now. But that code that which I showed there is a codex. It's not a Megillah. So it's an authoritative text in terms of the text itself, but it's not authoritative in terms of the setup because it doesn't fit all the halachos of a Megillah. In which case, I would say, well, then the small letter isn't really a proof either. But he had other proofs as well that older texts did not have, Megillahs did not have that until a couple of hundred years ago. So anyways, end of parentheses, back to these halachos. So the... So the Ramah is really only arguing on one case of the Mechaber, right? The Mechaber said, right, if you find a mistake, so then you're going to stop, you're going to take out another Sefer Torah and pick up from where you left off, right? The guy getting the Aliyah doesn't move. The Ramah is adding in a halacha. He says, if you're in a place that you could stop, so then the guy who had the Aliyah makes a bracha, and you call up another person for the rest of the Aliyah. Right, so that's a pretty important chiluk. So the idea of stopping and not saying anything and the same person having an aliyah on two Sefer Torah, that's only if you're actually in a place where you're not able to stop. But if you're in a place where you're able to stop, so then you have the guy who had the aliyah makes a bracha, and you call up another person for an aliyah for the rest of the thing. Now, places where you can't stop is actually, there's a significant number, right? A place where you can't stop would be within the first three of psukim of an aliyah, within the last three psukim of an aliyah. Any laning on during the week is going to be a place that you're not going to be, at least in the third aliyah during the week, you're not going to ever add a fourth aliyah during the week, so you can't do it in the middle of the third aliyah. And then there's plenty of other places where our minug is not to stop. So, for example, the Aseres HaDivros, Az Yashir, the Tochacha, things like that. If you find a mistake there, so then you would follow the Shita of the Mechaber as opposed to the Shita of the, Ramah, that is actually the Ramah's Shita. You follow the Shita of the Mechaber as opposed to the Shita of the Mordechai, I guess is really the right way of saying it, and you would pause and take out a new Sefer Torah under those circumstances. Okay, so that is the breakdown. There is a shita of the Gra, where the Gra holds that the person who had the Aliyah on the Pasul Sefer Torah, he does not make an end bracha. And you call up another person and he just makes the beginning bracha and then an end bracha, meaning whoever had the Aliyah on the Pasul Sefer Torah, he would make the bracha on the beginning of his aliyah, obviously, because he didn't know it was Pasul yet, right? And then he would, you find a mistake, so then his aliyah is over. He just goes back to his seat, and you call up another person for the remainder of those halachos. So how do we paskin on this? So let's take, with regards to this chiluk here, So let's take a look on page 50 in the Mishnah Berurah, which is page 4 of the source sheet. Right? So on this page, the Mishnah Berurah actually, on the Mishnah Berurah side, so he begins by giving you a whole introduction, right? He's on the top of the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Ketzera. I'm going to give you a short introduction, and then he pretty much gives you the introduction of what we've been learning for the last year and a half about the Rambam and B'dievin, L'chadchila, etc. So that's in the Mishneh Berurah. If you take a look on the right side of the page, in the Bi'ur Halacha, if you take a look on the right side of the page in the Bi'ur Halacha, so there he tries to set these things up. And let's say, right, he has the Mordechai, then he has the Gra. Let's pick up about halfway down where he says Vihine, a little bit more than halfway down. The first word on the line is Shakasa B'tshuvas Harash, and then he says Vihine. So the Bi'ur Halacha says, "V'nei afshe b'doros harishonim hayaminug b'kama makomus lachzor l'rosh kmo shekasav v'tashpeitz v'chadas hagra." He says that there apparently that was the minhag to actually go back to the beginning of the parsha, which is also the das of the gra, which I'm not sure where that gra is, because the gra gives another opinion on this as well. But mikol makom ata, the Bi'ur Halacha says, lefi mashe nishpashtu sifrei hashulchan aruch. Now that the shulchan aruch has gone around, mashe min hachronim shebechol hamakomos nishpashet haminhag koras maribe rav she'ein tzarich lachzor l'rosh. Now the halacha is to follow the maribe rav that you don't go back to the beginning, Haseder. The B'dievid Mashak Far Karu Anun Anu Somchin Al Ktsas Poskim Hamakilim. Because based on what you've read already, we rely on those poskim that are makil. Aval imhu osik adain be'emtsa kriya. But if you're still in the middle of laning, right, the nim that you find a mistake, yish bazedeos chalukim. There's many different opinions. Umakomos chalukim, in different places have different opinions. B'minog yish makomo. Now, how to establish a minhag in this situation is a little bit odd, right? How do you declare a minhag for when we find a psul in the Sefer Torah? Like, you hope it doesn't happen that often. And that's our minhag when we find a psul, right? So it's a little hard to have that claim. Although I venture to say that psulim in the Sefer Torah were more common the further you go back. But anyways, so what does he say is the minhag here? Just like the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, as the Shach writes in Yerudei Reishayin Tes, v'yesh mekomo shenispashet haminog kaMordechai, as is brought in the Magen Avraham. What was the Mordechai? The Mordechai was that you just keep reading until you get to a stopping point, right? Uve'emes b'makom shenispashet haminog kashe me'od l'shanus haminog. Where you have a minog, it's very hard to change the minog. I can relate, I guess. The chol echad yeshlo amalismach. But the truth is, everybody has what to rely on. V'yicholim anu likros aleihem. V'amach kulan tzadikim v'chol shekasev ashari Ephraim. And we can read based on them, and everybody's tzadikim, as the Ashari Ephraim says. Ach makum she'ein kanadai minuk. But if you're starting from scratch and you don't really have an established minuk, kavua mashra me'aramad yishlinu kamordechai v'chein atiku chai adam, that we would paskin like the Mordechai, but the Ramah's move on the Mordechai, which is that only you would rely on this Mordechai of making an end bracha only if you're in a place where you could stop. The brackets, right? Skip the brackets. If you look, now we go to the next page. The next page on the top line. Amnam shar harbi achram tafsu kulam ludina kipsakel shulchan aruch v'charas harama haluhim halavush b'yerdeya. By Eliyahu Rab, b'shem Kama Poskim, v'nar Shalom v'riyakel emdim, m'sefer Magen Gevurim, v'alkein nachun ma'od linug l'chadchil k'das ha'shulchan aruch v'ramah, b'makom she'ein minug kavua lehepach. So therefore the minug should be to follow the shulchan aruch and the ramah, unless you have a minug lehepach, unless you have some other minug with regards to what to do. So I think that that's the halacha. I mean, I think that that's what the Mishneh Berurah recommends. I think the Aruch HaShulchan, I believe, also recommends that. And I think that would be the din. So if we found a mistake, Chas V'Shalom, if you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, so if it would be a place where you could stop, we would stop and add an aliyah. Unless Bob tells me that the shul has a minug hagra of not having the first aliyah guy make a bracha at the end, I think we would have him make a bracha at the end, like the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and then pick up with the next Sefer Torah. But again, that sounds like it happens a lot often, but it's not so often, because it's only a place where you can't stop, and there are many exceptions to the rule. I mean, there are many places in the Torah where one is not able to stop, in which case you would follow the Shita of the Mechaber and bring out a new Sefer Torah without changing the Aliyah person. Okay, good so far. When I first went through these halachos, still in Riverdale once upon a time, and I actually wrote out a whole sheet for myself on it to keep in my shtender, and then I used it in Phoenix, or maybe I did in Phoenix, I don't remember. At some point there, I wrote out a whole thing for myself, and I told a certain person from a national organization about it, who was like very excited. He said, "Oh, you can send it to me. I'm going to send it out to all the Rabbanim." It took me a little while to fix it up, and then I sent it to him, and then I don't never heard anything about it again. So it might be in my shtender still now. I'm not sure. I didn't a quick look through my computer didn't turn it up, but I probably should have it someplace. This cheat sheet on this topic, because the other part that gets a little confusing is the second half of the Ramah, where the Ramah makes a distinction between major mistakes and minor mistakes. Right, so how do we what is going to be defined as each? He says for a minor mistake, you can continue on. So if we go to the next page on the source sheet. Page 6, I'm sorry, on the source sheet. So, oh, I see. Oh, no, I got everything on. So, page 6, here is where the Mishnah Berurah tries to give you briefly, although it's not so brief, the distinctions between what would be considered a Toz Gamor. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Hei, it's about a third of the way down, maybe a little more than a third of the way down. So Chaf Hei says Toz Gamor. What's a Toz Gamor? What's a full-fledged mistake, which for sure you would have to replace the Sefer Torah? Kom Shehaya Chaser O Yasser Teva. There's an extra letter or missing letter. Os Achas O Shehaya. Now, not a Chaseros V'Yaseros was like an extra hey or an extra vav or something like that. Right? This is talking about a totally wrong letter. You have an extra tough or something like that.
I think teva means word.
Oh, an extra word. I'm sorry. Yeah. I've made that mistake before. Yes. You have an extra word. You have something totally wrong. Osachas, or one letter, meaning, right, that's what I meant. And osachas is like a real letter that makes a difference in the meaning and changes everything. Oshahaya kari b'makum ksiv, or you have a kri b'makum ksiv, meaning there's a specific tradition to have the word differently than how you would read it, and they put in the Torah as you would read it, meaning there's and often there's halachos that are learnt out from that. So that has to be correct. O psucha b'makum stuma, o lehefech, right? That also is an issue, although there are some machlokasim as to what should be a psucha and what should be a stuma, but okay. V'cheinim kasa psucha o stuma makum she'ein tzarech o shechsera b'chol elu tzarech lahotzi acharetz. Then you for sure need to take out another Sefer Torah. V'odin inimsa shtei tevo shelo hircha karai. Now this is probably the one that is the most common. You have two words that are not separated enough. Achetinok de lo chakim velo tipesh, until you have a child that's neither too smart nor too dumb. Kori ksiva achas. Reads it as one word. Olahepech, or the opposite, shehirchik be'emtza teva, that you separate two words to achenir latinok, that it looks like a tinok talks to a child as if it's two words when it should really be one word. Kshetevos, oh, kedar omer, padatzor, elitzor, aminadav, v'kehena, shemekubli yavadenu shteva achasi im nimsa b'shte shitos, tzarech lahotzi acheres. That there are also words like those words where that we have a mesorah that it's one word, and if you find it as two on two lines, so then you would require to take out another Sefer Torah. And then the other one that's the most common is osius v'tevus shenimchaku, that if you have letters that are a little bit erased, right? Imrshimosa nikar shetinok de lochakim velotipesh yokoli krosan. If the image is there enough such that a child is able to read it. Ein tzarech lahotzi acheres. So, if you have a letter that is somewhat beginning to rub out, as long as there's still enough of an imprint such that a child will read it as the right letter, So then that would be okay. Aval im husar hadiyo hashachar, but if the line, if the ink is totally gone, v'nishar mare adamdam, and all it is reddish, havi shinui mare upasel. So then that's a different look, and then it's pasel. Now the truth is, Sheldon, we were just talking about this morning, right? The issue is not so much about reddish ink, that's for sure going to be a problem, and I don't know where that would come from, but the bigger issue is black ink that's faded or that's beginning to fade. So that seems to be this halacha that it would be okay, so long as there's still black ink, even if it's a little bit grayish, but it's blackish, and making out a full letter, that would still be okay. But if aval im husar hadio have a shinui maru pasul. He says, okay, I'm not sure what he's referring to. He's referring to something from Lama Beis. I have a feeling what we were just talking about in terms of the faded ink. When letters are connected by a small strand, so the truth is that's not so hard to fix. Even with a key or with the top of a pencil or something like that, probably with tools that are in shul already, you could probably easily fix it on the spot. So if it's leaning, so that would be ideal. I mean, you get to a thing, you see letters that's connected. So the easiest thing is if you have some kind of tool available to just take it out and try to scratch out the difference. I would say, when I find a mistake in a letter, in anything, Sefer Torah, mezuzahs, tefillin, anything, right? I would say probably 60% of the time, if you just put a little fingernail on it, it something wipes off and ends up being that it's totally fine, or it looked like there was a connection and the connection is not really there, right? That's pretty common that there's something there. So if there's really just a little crumb on top or piece of dust, so then you flick it away. The bigger issue, the Mishnah Brewer here at the bottom here mentions, though, that if it actually is a strand of ink that is connecting two letters, so yeah, you could easily separate those letters, but you can only do it during the week. You can't do it on Shabbos, right? Because if it's on Shabbos, so then you are violating the Issur D'oraisa potentially of Kosev, because you are now completing letters, right? And that would then be a problem to do on Shabbos, but you could only do it during the week. Okay, so those are enough of the, I think that takes care of most of the issues here. Now, the Mishnah Berurah left out an issue, and that is, what about if you have a break in a letter, like a full break in the letter? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be implying that if you can figure out a strand connecting them, so then that's okay. But if there's a full break, you can't. So for example, let's take here. So you have here, this is the page Reish in the Sefer Torah Shenimsa Botos. Sure I got it on there. There you go. So you see there's a little break in that letter, right? There's a little break between the leg and the top of the Reish. So if I would show it to a child, now Yosef, Baruch Hashem, has entered into the realm of being the Chacham Shelo Chacham Velo Tish, the Katan Shelo Chacham Velo Tipesh, right? And he can read it. So if I would ask him, what letter is that? And I would show it to him in the middle of nowhere, he would read it as a Reish. So the Mishnah Berurah only said that you can do that if there is actually some type of connection. But if it's totally cut off, there's totally a separation between the top and the bottom, so then you have no right to rely on the katan. You just have to say, it's not the letter. The reality is, it's not the letter, and no katan telling you otherwise is going to be able to make it the letter. So that brings us to the next thing here. Page, there you go. So this sort of brings things home here on page 6 and 7. So this is from the Sefer V'Dibarta Bam. So V'Dibarta Bam was published, there's volume 1, 2, I think there's actually even volume 3 now. So it's a Talmud from Rav David Feinstein, who passed away several months ago, Rav Moshe's son. And he, what he does is he wrote articles on various Inyanei Bahalacha, and pretty much every siman ends with, oh, and I asked the Rosh Hashiva of David Feinstein, and this is what he said the psak should be, right? So I just opened it up to say, hey, maybe he has something to say about this topic, and lo and behold, he does. So this is volume 2, and in siman Tes Zion here, Right? So you see, the topic is Be'inyan Nimsa Tos Behefsik Os Beshas Kriya Satori. You find a mistake in terms of a break in the letter during the Kriya Satori. So he quotes the Ramah, he quotes the Mishnah Berura, which we were just reading from. Right? The Tos Gemura, that if you have a break, Tos Gemura Hainukun Shinir Latino Keshte Tevos. The Od Kasa the Nimku Mikzasma Os, if it's a little bit missing, you go in Shinui Mara, Nami Tsarklotzi Achars. You have to take out another one, Varaki Mishuma Nikr Latino Kasher. Only if there's some kind of hint of connecting. So only then would you say that you could leave a letter in. And he says, "Va'ayin v'hilchos osios luck in orachaim simin lamed beis," meaning in hilchos tefillin, where this is discussed in the context of hilchos tefillin. "V'nugei lehefsik ba'os," if you have a break in the os, "in nifsal b'rechovo shel os v'achar hahefsik nishar od lamata chilek min haregel bazeh lo mo'il tinok." Right, that if you have a situation where you have a break in the letter, that in terms of the length of the letter, and then there's a little bit underneath. So, for example, you have a long chaf, and then you have, but before you get to the bottom of the long chaf, you have a break. So, in which case, it's like a resh and a letter on the bottom. Lo mo il tinok. It won't help getting a tinok. Why? That tinok lo yachol etzarif mashal mata tachas hanuk. Once the child can't join together what's on the top and what's on the bottom. But tzarik lichsos tachaso. If you got to cover that bottom one and then ask the tinok, and then the tinok probably will read it as a resh rather than as a chaf with a break in the middle. So chasam mishabura b'zed the lo kishuas Yaakov shemekel kishitas hamir. So mishabura is so. This fellow who was writing this sefer, so he says, this is actually I don't even know if it has his name in it. Baruch Moskowitz, who's writing this sefer, so he says that there's another shita though on this is not like the Shuas Yaakov. That's Mekil, like the Shita Sameiri, Shehus over the Ain Sarak Lichsos. You don't have to cover what's on the bottom. Mea Hefsik, L'inyan Re'ias Tinok, the Yachol HaTinok L'tzarif Zeh Imadai Nirka'os. And you could show the child the entire thing with a break in the middle. And if the child says, no, it looks like a chaf with a, you know, there's just a little break in the middle, but I still think it looks like a chaf, right? So then you could rely on that child. So the Mishnah Berurah rejects that. Aval l'cha'ora came into yesh shita kazu l'halacha ulay yesh nafka min l'inyo l'otzia sefer Torah cheres b'shas kriyas haTorah. But there is this shita out there. So suggests this Rabbi Moskowitz that maybe that should then permit us under these circumstances to not take out another sefer Torah. I mean, yes, it's true, we'll be machmir, and we're not going to matir tefillin based on that. But in terms of b'dieved saying, well, now we have a pasul sefer Torah, we have to stop, we have to take out another one, maybe we could rely on the Yeshuas Yaakov to keep the sefer Torah out. That is his question. So Rav David, so the tshuva is actually, or this essay slash tshuva is actually 8 columns long, but I got you to the end, where he says, V'shamati me'agon Rosh Yeshiva. So that's on the next page. V'shamati from the Rosh Yeshiva of David Feinstein. Da'afal gav diladas ha'mishabur v'chazunish near the ain tzarech l'hotzi acheres hechad yesh machlokas b'poskim im tzarech tikun. He points out that the mishabur v'chazunish are mekel about this din. Meaning where there is a machlokas, he says you don't have to take out another one. However, the Mishnah Berurah did not include this on his list of machlokas haposkim, meaning at what point is it something considering machlokas haposkim versus something that everybody assumes except for one or two das yechidim. That's sort of the question that he's asking. So he says the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that maybe you should be permitted to not take out another sefer Torah. Because the Rav David said, no, we're going to be machmir on this, because nowadays the whole idea of not taking out a new Sefer Torah is a tircha de tzibura, is based on the issue of tircha de tzibura. But nowadays we're not so machmir on it anymore. Now, that's an interesting ha'ara. We'll see what his proof is in a moment, right? But what's he saying? Oh, nowadays we're not so concerned about the tircha de tzibura anymore. It's like, I don't know if he's ever seen a shul, you know, at the end of Marav Motzeh, at the end of a 2-day, you know, 3-day Yontif, right? People start getting a little makvid about Tircha de Tzibura. But what's his point here? He says, Va'od yadua hayom de hasfarim chadashim yosem mitukanim v'nimsa oz shenechlika b'sefer Torah yashon lama lo tzarech l'havi sefer Torah beduka v'chazaka shlo yekazeh b'sefer hasheni. He says, and by the way, new Sifrei Torah are much better than older Sifrei Torah. And, you know, your chances of getting, you know, there is sort of a sfar out there of who says the second one's going to be better than the first one. So the Feinstein, come on, you know, the chance of finding a mistake in the second one is pretty low, right? We're pretty sure we're going to get a good Sefer Torah when we bring out a second one. He says, V'ulai v'zmenenu, gam l'asa prima gadim. Yosutov likach acheres gam b'chai gavna, she'ishitos de'omer de'b'dievet kasher, that maybe you should take it out, even if you say that b'dievet, you can make a case that it's okay, still you should take out another one. Then he says that maybe there's an inyon of not removing, of not take, not passing a Sefer Torah when you don't have to, because we don't want to be pagim it. But that's only with the Sifrei Torah that's kasher b'dievet. But this one, we're not going to say it's kasher b'dievet. We're only going to say it's kasher b'dievet for the purpose of not having to replace it right now. We should take another Sefer Torah. We should only rely on this b'shas ha-psak. B'shas ha-chak. For example, there's no other Sefer Torah around. Or maybe in Shvi, maybe in the seventh Aliyah, maybe you would combine it with a shita to say that you should just keep reading it through the end of Shvi. But then he says, but even that, come on, we're not so machped on Tircha de Tzibura. And you look at the bottom underline that I have here. How do you know? The bizmanenu leika Tircha de Tzibura kolkach shemavarchim harbe mishaberach. That nowadays we see that we're not so machped about Tircha de Tzibura anymore, based on the amount of mishaberachs you see that people do anyways. So he says, come on, people have some time, and to say that no, we're going to be so strict and not take a new Sefer Torah out, says Rav David, he thinks that you should not rely on these shitos lakula and take out the other Sefer Torah again, unless you're in a situation where you're where you only have one Sefer Torah, or maybe where you only have two Sefer Torah, you need the second one for Maftir, or something along those lines. But he says, yeah, one could make a case perhaps to rely on the Kula in that case. And this, but the Rav David is not so thrilled with going along with that Mahalach. All right, maybe we'll stop here. There are some more details in this siman in Shulchan Aruch about what's the quota for mistakes in a Sefer Torah. So I guess Emir Zeshem will get to that next week. And hopefully we won't find any problems in a Sefer Torah anytime soon. All right. Maybe tonight should be only Lilmod v'lo l'maisa, but you know, it is something that we do need to know about. Okay. What?
Right.
So if I were to follow this psak, right? So we're going to say b'dieved. We're going to keep this out because there's what to rely on to say that it's, you know, that it's really permissible. I, Rav David, says you take out a new Sefer Torah, but it's not such a real Tircha de Tzibura. So I would say, okay, I'm masking that it's not if you have a Sefer Torah in the exact spot. But if you're going to start talking about rolling something from one end to the other end, so then I think maybe even Rav David would be would agree that would qualify as a Tircha de Tzibura.
You used to have two in more or less the same spot, one for the small shul and one for the big shul.
That's true, right.
But we don't have it anymore. Anyway.
Right. Okay. Yashar Koach, everybody. Have a good evening.